a difference between being content in your singleness while you still have faith in your weight versus being so discouraged and so tired of waiting that you, that has become unbelief, and you have just given up completely on the desire of your heart, and you are now claiming that, oh, I'm okay being single. Yo, party people, it's Ashley of singlewomanchronicles.com, where I provide a safe space for single women to heal, grow, and thrive. And today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to remain encouraged as a Christian single. Okay, dating is already a little complicated these days, but as a Christian single, it can be a little bit more complicated, just because if you are really trying to walk with Christ while dating in this world, you're basically going opposite of everybody else. So it could feel like it's harder for you, but I don't feel like it's necessarily harder. I did an episode, I can't remember the title, where I just talked about, is dating as a Christian more complicated, or do we overcomplicate it? And I believe the thing is, we feel like we're missing out a lot of times, but honestly, we're actually being protected. God puts certain parameters in scripture to protect us, not to be a buzzkill. So if you are truly trusting in the Lord with all of your heart and leaning not to your own understanding, Christian dating becomes way easier, because you realize that you're dodging a lot of bullets that you don't have to get hit by. It's kind of like that old analogy, like, you know, some people, they learn from others, but some, they got to touch the stove and see if it's hot. God doesn't want you to touch the stove. He just wants you to trust him, right? So I know that's still hard, and I hate that as Christian singles, as single period, especially as a single woman, we often get horrible advice, horrible words, because typically when we are discouraging our singleness, people are often, instead of giving us encouragement, they're giving us advice, they're giving us instructions, instead of being compassionate and sitting with us in that, instead of saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I pray that your person comes soon, or saying, oh my God, what can I do? It's usually like, oh, shut up, you're single, whatever, love yourself. Oh, what's wrong with you? I literally just had that happen to me over the weekend. I posted this cute little video on TikTok, and I was just like, I'm sitting here smelling amazing with nobody to share it with, which I was. And it was just a little cute something for me to post. And this guy, this relationship coach, was like, oh, you should have men lined up. What's wrong with you? What's the problem? Why is it ultimately a problem because I'm single? Maybe I'm selective. Maybe I'm set apart. Maybe it's not my due season yet. And I think we have to learn to normalize that not everyone gets married early. Not everyone's season is soon. Like, we saw so many people in the Bible that had to wait. Okay. Joseph had to wait. Sarah had to wait. Abraham had to wait. Moses had to wait. Like, why, when it comes to being a Christian single, do people forget that, you know? So today I just want to talk about how to stay encouraged during your single season as a Christian, because often it can get complicated and frustrating. And I want to give you actual advice, actual encouragement, instead of trying to condemn you for being single. I am the perfect person to encourage you about being discouraged in your singleness, because I am a Christian single. I have been single since 2017. Now, there may be some men listening to this that may be like, you a liar, because have I been in relationships? Have I said yes to being someone's girlfriend since 2017? Yes, I have, twice. But trial periods don't count. It's like probation, right? If we don't get past the 3 months, then baby, we never went together. Okay? We never went together. We never did. So again, I've been single for since 2017. Okay? Have I had options? Several. Have I dealt with people, dated people? Absolutely. Have I been fighting for my life in celibacy? Yes, I have since 2017. You do the math. So I have been, when I tell you I've had every up, down, turn around, sideways, I've even been the person who believed someone was their husband and it turned out not to be true. Okay, I'm gonna tell that story one day. I'm probably not gonna tell that story until I get married, but yeah, very, very ghetto story. So I understand what it feels like to be waiting on God, to be actually pursuing God, be praying about it, to be feeling like I'm ready to be doing the most for God and still feeling like, oh my God, where's my Boaz? Where's my person? Like, what is going on? So I'm finally in a space right now where I'm content, where I'm in belief. I have faith and that I will get married very soon, but I'm still in my waiting season. And then to put a cherry on top, I've told some of you guys that at the end of last year, God told me that he wanted me to be single for 6 months. And I am on month 5. My 6 months ends in July. And I'm excited about it, but at the same time, a little nervous because I really do hope coming out of this that immediately I meet my man. Immediately. I actually want to meet him while I'm going through this process. So that's really the prayer. Like, can I have met him by the time this is over? So when July 1st comes, we can just get this thing rolling, get this ball rolling, right? And there's a difference between being content in your singleness while you still have faith in your wait versus being so discouraged and so tired of waiting that that has become unbelief and you have just given up completely on the desire of your heart. And you are now claiming that, oh, I'm okay being single instead of being content, which means that you're okay while you wait for your person. Sadly, I have seen a lot of my friends given to unbelief and discouragement to the point where they once desired marriage, kids, family so heavily, but now because of their weight and their discouragement and their disappointment, they are now feeling as if it will never happen for them. And I feel like some of you guys listening feel the same way. And I just really want to encourage you today to not let the enemy rob you of the desires of your heart, because that is what he comes to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your hope, your faith. He wants to kill your desires of your heart. He wants to destroy your dreams and your future. And the only way he can do that is if you allow him to, if you participate in unbelief, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have to stay encouraged. And I think also we have to, a lot of the people who have given up, I'm going to keep it a book. It's a part of them and their disappointment comes from their choices, because I too have chosen to participate in foolishness. But thankfully, I took accountability for that. And I was able to say, you know what, God, you told me no on that person. So I went through brokenness because I chose that, not because you chose that for me. You told me not to do it, but I did it. I chose to do that. I chose to take matters into my own hands. So I cannot blame you for that hurt or that disappointment or that brokenness. And sometimes you got to be real with yourself. God didn't do that to you. God didn't tell you to say yes to that fool. God didn't tell you to stay in that relationship that long. God actually told you never to get into that relationship. So we got to stop blaming God for our wait, because sometimes we can make our wait longer. Look at the children of Israel, the Israelites. They traveled through the wilderness. That trip was only supposed to take 2 weeks, but it ended up taking 40 years because they had hardened hearts and they were discouraged and they lost their faith in God. So it took them longer because God had to say, you know what? They are not ready and prepared in faith for what I have for them. So I got to make them wait. And matter of fact, they so cold-hearted and hardened, I can't even take them into my promised land. We got to wait till this generation die off and we got to get a new generation. The new generation went in. Moses didn't even win in because he got frustrated, even though I still feel like Moses should have went in. I know God don't make no mistake, but my boy Moses should have went in. All I'm saying, that's all I'm saying. When I get to heaven, I want to ask, Jesus, you could have let him in. You could have let him in the promised land. I feel like he already, but they ain't got nothing to do with me. Okay, so let's talk about the ways to stay encouraged. So number one, understand you are set apart. So dating looks different for you. When you are set apart by God, you have standards you need to abide by. You have scripture that you need to follow. Certain scriptures, meaning like your body is a temple. Do not date people who are unequally yoked. Do not when you, what does it talk about? When you leave your mother and your father, you and your person are becoming one. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. I don't know if we do enough reading of scripture when it comes to dating, love, relationships, but I feel like a lot of people don't. And I find that many Christians want to date like the world, but call themselves Christians. And it just don't work like that. When you are a follower of Christ, you need to be trying to please God and God alone. You cannot try to serve two masters, meaning you cannot try to serve man and God. Like, no. So I know for me, when I truly started to follow God, dating became different. Very, very, very different. And here's some ways it became different. So number one, God cleaned me up. So he cleaned me up in the point of, he cleaned me up by renewing my mind. I'm now attracted to different people and I attract different people. But that sounds great. But at the same time, I ain't even gonna hold y'all. I got way more attention before. Before Christ, I got way more attention. I got approached way more. I was entertaining way more people because I would entertain everybody. I would entertain people that I would marry, and I would entertain people that I would not marry. I would entertain people that I would be in a relationship with. I would entertain the people that I would never be in a relationship with, but it seemed fun for that day or that week or that month, so I do it. But now I don't entertain that. Now I'm only entertaining people that I would marry. So, of course, that makes some nights really, really lonely. Okay. So you date a little bit different. And then I'm celibate. Like, I'm not having sex while dating. I've been on this journey since 2017. It's a long journey. And by faith, I hope that I do not have sex until marriage. I have to say it like that because for a long time, my identity was kind of wrapped up in being the girl who was abstaining. And now it's like I kind of renewed my understanding of this and understood, like, because I got to a point where I no longer wanted to be abstaining. Like,
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I was just over it, and I was kind of like doing this self-sabotage-y thing where I was just like, whatever, if it happens, it happens. And that was just stupid, and God had to punch me in the forehead with that. So now it's kind of like I'm walking this thing day by day, and by faith, I'm hoping and praying that I will make it there. Now I do pray all the time. I do not put myself in compromising positions. I have removed a lot of things so that I can make that happen for me, but it is hard. It is very hard. So, and because if y'all do the math, 2017 is now 2025. Child, that is 8 years. I am tired, but I'm going, I'm walking, and I'm set apart with God, because you have to understand what long suffering is. That is a fruit of the spirit. People don't be looking at the fruits of the spirit. Long suffering is one of them, and I am suffering. Bridges, you making us suffer with your coughing, okay? That is my shih tzu. He is 14. He just does what he wants. So that is one thing you have to understand, that you are set apart, so you can't do what everyone else does. So if the world is telling you that you need to go out there and just see where it goes and don't buy the car before you test drive it, stuff like that, like meaning that you need to have sex before marriage in order to know if you're gonna like the sex, like, okay, well, that's following the world, it's not following God. So you have to understand that you're set apart, so it's gonna look a little bit different when it comes to being unequally yoked. The Bible literally says, do not yoke yourself up with unbelievers. It says that. So that means, guess what? You cannot be out here trying to marry nobody who is not a believer. I have reread that. I have tried to date unbelievers several times. Crash, fail in my face. It's really disgusting. Why would I do that? Because honestly, if you are a true follower of God, why wouldn't you want someone who is that too? Because they are not going to understand your life. They're not going to understand why you tithe. They're not going to understand why you up early in the morning praising, running around your living room crying, snot running down your nose because you just had an encounter with God. They're not going to understand why you may say, you know what, I'm not going to make this decision because it doesn't, I prayed about it. Or you may say stuff like, oh, God told me to do this, and they looking at you like you crazy. It's just like, if you are a true follower of God, why would you even want to be unequally yoked with somebody? So yeah, understand that you're set apart. Being set apart is not a bad thing because God has affirmed you. Would you rather be approved by God or approved by man? I don't know about you, but I would much rather be approved by God because he got my name in the book. Man can't send me to heaven or hell, but he can. Okay. Number two, delayed does not mean denied. We often believe that because we have been waiting for so long, that that means that God has told us no or denied our desire to be a wife. And that is a lie. Again, let's go back to the people in the Bible who waited. Sarah waited until she was in her 90s to have a kid. Okay. Delayed did not mean denied. Joseph waited for years, went to prison falsely, just jumped from here, there, everywhere to be a ruler, to be under the king. After he dreamt that in his teen years, he didn't get to it until his 30s. He waited, but delayed did not mean denied. We have to stop this instant gratification culture or feeling like, oh, just because we're waiting. And I think it's sad because church culture has messed up a lot of our mindsets, has distorted our brains, because church culture basically wants you married by 21. Okay. And if you're not married by 21, then basically something's wrong with you. You can't be in the pulpit. You can't be preaching. And if you notice, like, a lot of pastors are not single. It's rare that you find a single pastor. And when a pastor is single, a lot of people don't even take them seriously. And that is so foolish to me, because Jesus had the biggest ministry ever. He was single. Paul had the biggest ministry and he was single. Like, what are we talking about? People are nuts. People are crazy. And this church will distort your view of Christianity. So you have to stay in the word and stick close to your word. But you have to understand that delayed does not mean denied. Look in your Bible and look at all the people who were delayed. And it did not mean that they were denied. It just means that their due season had not come yet. Jesus himself did not start his ministry until what? He was like 33, I believe, or something like that. And he did so much because it was his due season, but he still had, Jesus even had to wait. So you think you ain't gonna have to wait? Yeah, that's crazy. Understand, delay does not mean denied. Number three, scripture and prayer work. Use it, baby, bookie. Okay, understand this. I feel like we do not fight enough in the spirit when it comes to dating, and that's why a lot of us are discouraged. You need to pray harder. This year, I realized that I was too much in my own flesh when it came to dating instead of being in my spirit and fighting that kind of way. It says that we do not battle flesh and blood. It's principalities and spirits that we're battling. That's spiritual warfare. So why are we not praying about that, right? So I know for me, I went through a season where I realized there was a lot of curses on my life. And I even read this book. I want y'all to read this book about like demonic, like getting rid of curses out of your life. I just finished it on Audible. I started last year, but I just finished this year. Let me tell y'all what this book is, because y'all need to get it. Deliverance from Demonic Covenants and Curses. Y'all don't understand how this book has blessed me. Okay. Listen here. So this book, so I heard about it through the Year of the Bride Fast with Tiffany Montgomery, which she talks about how there are many curses in the Bible and we don't know that we're under curses, because we look at curses like, oh, that's witchcraft. Oh, that only happens in certain cultures. But no, there can be curses on your bloodline that you don't even realize, right? And you have to fight that. So I had heavy spiritual curses with like delay on my life, heavy spiritual curses of poverty, of discouragement, of unforgiveness, like all of this stuff. So this book, it just tells you how curses come about and how to, and gives you prayer points on how to pray against these. So definitely read this book or listen to it on Audible, Deliverance from Demonic Covenants and Curses by Reverend James A. Solomon, because you need to be battling in the spirit, because some of y'all supposed to be married, but there's a spirit of delay over your life, or there's a spirit of unforgiveness over your life, and it's delaying you or keeping you from meeting your person. So you need to get in your scripture and you need to get in your prayer. Okay. We don't pray enough about our love life. I think a lot of us believe that God has better things to do than to think about our love life, but that is a lie. What I think there are three very important relationships that happen in your life. The first one is your relationship with God. The second one is the relationship with yourself. The third one is your relation, the relationship you will have that you will marry somebody and spend forever with them. You don't think that God want to be a part of that? He want to be front row center. So understand that you need to start praying more. Okay. Number four, do not grow weary in well-doing. This is Galatians 6:9. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you faint not. This means, like I said before, do not be so discouraged, so weary that you give up, because those who do not quit are the ones who receive the blessing. But if you quit, you won't receive the blessing. That is why the people who I'm telling y'all about, my friends that are like have completely given up on love, they're not going to receive it because they've given up. And you cannot please God without faith. You need faith. You have to faith this thing out. So this has been an anchor scripture for me. What is your anchor scripture? An anchor scripture is a scripture that you meditate on day and night. Proverbs said, those who meditate on scripture day and night will prosper. You need to get, I feel like we think we need to be in the word, reading a whole bunch of stuff. No, literally meditate means to like, think about it, ruminate on it, repeat it, get it down in your soul so much that you believe it, that you know it, that you feel it and it leads you. You can have one scripture. I've had most of the time, my anchor scripture is a scripture that I will repeat for years until I switch to another season and then it's a new scripture. So one that has been big in my love life has been Galatians 6:9. Another one can be the one I mentioned, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean up on your own understanding. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. Another one can be Matthew 6:33. Focus first on him and his righteousness and all other things will be given to you as well. Which means that if you focus on God, he gonna give you everything else, all the desires of your heart. But you got to stay focused on God, right? So get you an anchor scripture and do not be swayed by the world and everything they got going on in it. I believe that God is going to grant you your desire. You just got to keep fighting. Do not faint. Faint not. Okay. So I hope that this has encouraged you. Please like, comment, and share this with somebody who is struggling in their dating, because we need more healthy, godly marriages. Because look at the world in its state right now. Marriage is becoming something people do not even want to do. And I know that is an attack of the enemy, because godly marriages can save a lot. That's another scripture. I don't know those exact words of that scripture, but it says like, one can battle 1,000 and two together can battle 10,000 or something like that, which means that if you bind yourself together with another believer, you can battle way more in the spirit than you can by yourself. So if desire, marriage is something that God created so that God, he wants us to be intertwined with someone and become one with someone, with the person that he has for us. Okay. So stay encouraged. Do not let this world discourage you. Because honestly, God is probably protecting you. Because I know me for myself, if I got married in my 20s, I would have been divorced. Because the person that I was different. Two, I didn't know myself. Three, my type was nasty. It was disgusting. It was awful. And I've gone back and tried to date some of those men because I'm a berry. I need to touch the stove, see if it's hot type of girl. Okay, so I made a lot of mistakes. And I realized that when I tried to go back and date some of those guys that I thought were good guys, God showed me like, no, they were never good guys. You had bad taste back then. You still probably got bad taste. That's why I got to lead your desire. So like, that's why I got to show you who you need to be dating. Like, because, honey, you cannot choose. You suck. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with letting God choose. Okay. So hopefully this has encouraged you. Like, comment, share, subscribe. And check out my books, How to X Your Ex, A Guide to Getting Past Unhealthy Relationships. If you are ruminating over your ex, instead of ruminating on this scripture, go ahead and get in this book, because it's going to keep you from going back to that fool. How to Get Unstuck When Life Sucks. If you are stuck in a season where you feel like you cannot get out of it, this is the book for you. This is a workbook, 30 days. I have a friend who's going through it now. She's like, girl, you said 30 days, but honey, I be having to really sit with some of these prompts, girl, because you go deep. So It's for 30 days, but you can take a little bit longer when you really want to let it settle in. And then lastly, my fiction novel called Single Woman Chronicles, an Atlanta Love Story, kinda. This is for my reader girlies who like some fiction. You just want to get into it. It's really good. It has two parts so far. So y'all get into that. And the links are below. And yeah, that's all I got for y'all. Bye.